Coming up, I'm talking about the Damian Lillard to Portland signing and Bradley Beal officially heading to the Clippers. And then I bring on Andrew Sharp to talk Wizards and Ben Thompson to talk Bucks. That's coming up right now. We got some NBA news. Damian Lillard's going back to the Blazers and Bradley Beal is going to the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's start off with Damian Lillard going back to Portland on a three-year, $42 million deal with a no-trade clause. First of all, it's cool. Like, it's just cool. Dame is going to be able to recover from his torn Achilles in Portland, back home, the place he made his name, and then join a team that is actually pretty solid. Like, the Blazers had a top five defensive rating the second half of last season after the All-Star break. They had what looks like a really good draft getting Yang Hansen, who's been just awesome in summer league. We'll have a lot more summer league talk next week as well. But you look at Portland, they trade Dame, they get Jrue Holiday, they get Kamara, they get picks, and then they trade Jrue Holiday to Boston. They get Time Lord, Malcolm Brogdon, more assets. Those assets led to Danny Avdia. And now they have Dame, Andrew, and Denny, and Williams, and Kamara, and many, many first on top of that. So it's kind of like crazy how everything's kind of come full circle here ever since the Dame trade. Dame finds out the grass isn't always greener. The Blazers draft Scoot. You know, he has not exactly panned out quite yet to replace Damian Lillard, but they have this team that feels like it makes sense, and they're just missing that point guard. And so maybe Scoot in year three, mentored by Dame, has a breakout year. Maybe not. Maybe Damian Lillard comes back healthy, and now he's joining a team with Jrue Holiday and Kamara and Denny on the defensive end. And once Dame's back, maybe it's Jeremy Grant sticks around. Maybe Rupert or Murray ascends. And like, then you look at the team and it makes sense. Like, this is the type of team Damian Lillard would want to be built around, with all these versatile defensive players, spot-up shooters, secondary ball handlers, and then Yang and Kling in the front court together. That still remains the thing that I'm most fascinated to see what Portland does. Are we going to see one of those guys come out with a reliable jumper? Yeah, Yang probably being the more likely one. Or are we going to see a situation where Portland is like turning back the clock to the 90s or the 2000s with twin towers, two interior bigs posting up on either elbow? I just look forward to seeing how the Blazers build this out. And the fact Dame's going back, you know, maybe it had to happen this way for Dame to find out the grass isn't always greener. He goes to Milwaukee. You feel like it's a championship situation. It's not. You wanted to go to Miami. That team has gone nowhere and is going nowhere. And then you find your way back in Portland after a traumatizing injury. And who knows? Like, maybe this ends up an amazing story. Maybe the Blazers become contenders. Sixth man Damian Lillard. How cool would that be? No matter how it plays out, the Blazers, as interesting as they all already were, have become even more interesting now with Damian Lillard. We also have Bradley Beal, who was officially bought out by the Phoenix Suns. He gave back some money, and then he promptly immediately signed with the Los Angeles Clippers, as a lot of people expected. Beal going to the Clippers, in my opinion, just is a clear upgrade over Norm Powell. Now, I posted that on social media earlier in the week once the news became official. A lot of people are like, no way. Powell was a borderline all-star last year, and that's true. That's true. But it was also an outlier year for Norm Powell. And Bradley Beal, despite being in a crap situation in Phoenix last year, still shot 40.4% on catch and shoot threes. The year prior to that, shot 44.9% on catch and shoot threes. He's an elite shooter off the catch. He's an effective guy off the dribble from three and from mid-range. This year, he shot 47.7% on pull-up two-pointers. So, in my opinion, Beal is better than Norm Powell, in part because of not just the shooting, because of the off-the-dribble ability, his ability to get to the basket. I just think he's a higher ceiling player overall. What's undeniable, though, is that Bradley Beal plus John Collins is better than Norm Powell. That's what this deal makes official here, that the Clippers did indeed completely upgrade their roster this year. They addressed their concerns. Think about what OKC did a year ago. We found out a year ago OKC needed another defender. They go and get Alex Caruso. We found out they needed another rebounder, a true big man. They go and get Isaiah Hartenstein. The OKC Thunder go and win the NBA Finals. Now, that team's different. They're young. The Clippers are old. But with the Clippers, what were their areas of need? They needed more front court versatility above everything else. So they signed Brook Lopez, who provides more drop coverage behind Zubats, and he can space the floor, so they get a different look. They trade Powell for John Collins. That provides a lob threat for James Harden, a little bit more flexibility with how he can switch on the perimeter. He's not a lockdown guy, but he's at least somebody that can provide that as an option. And then they get Beal to replace those Powell minutes. And to me, like, the Clippers feel like, on paper, a complete roster. On paper is doing a lot of work here, because everybody and their mother knows Kawhi Leonard and his health cannot be trusted. Beal is, you know, he's played 53 games 2 years in a row. That's one reason why he's been such a bummer for Phoenix the last 2 years, is because of his lack of availability. And so now you put him in a situation with a bunch of old guys, and like, maybe they sign Chris Paul next, another old dude, and James Harden's old. Like, there's no real confidence in the Clippers to ever be anything. But on paper, the team got better. They addressed their number one need. And this is a team that on paper, maybe they're turning into something. And at a minimum, I feel like the Clippers are one of the winners of this offseason with what they did with Collins, with Lopez, and with Beal. What we're going to find out, of course, is, can these guys actually stay healthy for April, May, and June and come through in clutch situations, as James Harden will have to prove. Well, that's a long ways from now. They still could make more changes. We'll find out about that in the days or weeks to come. For now, though, let's talk about Bradley Beal's old team, the Washington Wizards, and Damian Lillard's old team, the Milwaukee Bucks, with Ben Thompson, No Tech Ben from Stratechery, the best tech blog out there, and his co-host, also the co-host of GOAT, Andrew Sharp, big Wizards fans. They're coming up. I talked to them at Summer League in Vegas. We got a whole lot else coming up as well, but let's talk to Andrew and Ben. Welcome back to the Kevin O'Connell Show. Joining me right now from Stratechery, Sharp Tech co-host Ben Thompson and Andrew Sharp. How are you guys doing?
Here we are. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I thought this was a tech conference. There's like a bunch of basketball here, so I'm not sure.
Well, look,
stumbled on the set.
I thought that this was going to be me and KOC, and then you were an addition like a day ago, and now we got the whole Sharp Tech team here with you. I'm very excited.
See, he told me it was just me. So.
It was a little bit of a surprise here with both of you being together. I mean, you guys talk tech all the time. You have your pod. You write, of course, your daily newsletter. You don't get to talk a lot of basketball together, though.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we have to fight to limit the basketball talk on Sharp Tech to like 2 minutes per episode. So now we get to sort of stretch our arms out and, you know, make ourselves comfortable here.
You just did an hour 20 episode this week after a little bit of a break, and not a lot of basketball talk in this one, but we'll do that today, starting with your Bucks, Ben.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little gun shy about basketball takes, because the last time I did a podcast about basketball, real insulting of OKC.
I mean, you came hard at Bill.
Small market light years, which I thought was a great line. I was really invested in them not winning, so I'm kind of on a losing streak.
Look,
so
that we'll take had goes. Some legs during the second round. It looked like you were going to be proven right.
Well, and sort of like first half of game four, and then Scott Foster's like, nope. Sorry, not going to happen. So.
I mean, Denver had him on the ropes. If they had Cam Johnson instead of Michael Porter Jr. with one arm, Aaron right. Gordon didn't get hurt. You never know.
And I think only one arm made him better, but
well, I mean, they made the right move.
And the Pacers were right there, man. Know, oh my god, that game four! I'm pissed off all over again. Thank you so much.
If they lose that one, I mean,
I know.
If they win that one, I'm sorry.
It was right there. Exactly, it was right there.
And then with game seven, obviously, the torn Achilles. Just...
But listen. Stop trying to change the subject. Does the Yakichonich apology need to be as loud as the disrespect was?
We're recording this on Friday, day two of Summer League, and as we speak, it is halftime of a Heat Summer League game happening right over our shoulder. Yakichonis has 19 points at halftime.
Looked great.
After 1 for 15, 12 turnovers.
Spraying the ball all over the place the last couple games. But look, he's got his sea legs now. The new era is here down there
Steal
in Miami.
The draft, just like I said. Well, let's talk about the Bucks, though. Okay, the Bucks. Last week, Giannis comes on. He's on Speed's Twitch stream.
tens of thousands of viewers watching, and he's asked, so are you staying in Milwaukee? He says, probably. We'll see. I love Milwaukee. What was Ben Thompson's reaction when he saw that little clip?
No surprise. I mean, I think he does like Milwaukee. I think he's a homebody. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He's not been a part, obviously, of like the U.S. sort of basketball coming up and wanting to go to the big city sort of angle. So it's one of those things probably we will look back historically, and he may be someone who's, you know, I think will be better than was better than he will be sort of ranked in the long run. And he's probably sealing that reality now. The reality is, I mean, yesterday on the way to Summer League, someone posted a clip of Chris Middleton tough shot making in 2021. And not only were all the shots, every single one, incredible, the clip was 4.5 minutes long. And it's just, it's, we'll never get over the slipping on the floor in 2022. The fact the Bucks never sort of got a full run since then. And that's just sort of a reality to accept. And given that, I'm happy to watch Giannis for a few more years. So it is what it is. I've come to acceptance.
Are you accepting of the Miles Turner plan the next couple of years?
So there's two parts to this.
Okay.
I'm fully, there's the Damian Lillard sort of cut and extend, spread, whatever it is. And then there's the Miles Turner part. I'm fine with the Dame part. I think people in the national media are dramatically overreacting to this. The reality is for the next 2 years, would you rather have Dame rehabilitating and then Dame as a 36, 37-year-old coming off an Achilles tear?
Yep.
Or would you rather have Miles Turner? Because the salaries match up. Like the stretch $20 million plus Miles Turner's $30 million is the equivalent to what Dame was getting paid. So it's the 3 years past that are the problem. At which point Giannis is going to be 32 going into his 33 season. And the reality is any maximization you want to do of Giannis, I think, needs to happen now. I think there's been a lot of BS in the media about Giannis, you know, is he over? No, last year he was good enough to lead a championship team, right up there at the best in the league. So in terms of optimizing for these 2 years, I have no problem with that. I think the Miles Turner specific issue is similar to the Dame issue, in that I was not a Dame fan, and I had to convince myself I was a Dame fan. Never been. You and I have gone at it for ages about Miles Turner. Yes. Not a Miles Turner fan. That said, Giannis is probably the best possible player to put next to Miles Turner. The other concern I
Turner
have,
has
though,
never, in any iteration of the Pacers, has ever had somebody obviously like Giannis. Giannis is a one of one, but he hasn't had anybody that even fits that mold.
Right. Giannis will take care of the boards. Giannis will like be the be.
And Turner can't rebound, so that's
no, I know it's pretty bad. Yeah.
three per game in the finals,
The issue I think goes back to the Kuzma trade, which I'm ashamed to admit I was not immediately appalled by.
You sold me on the Kuzma
trade.
Well,
the reason is, about him flipping the switch.
No, it wasn't that. The reason is, I think, and this goes back to when the Bucks lost against Boston in 2022, Brook Lopez could not be on the floor. And it's hilarious that Boston Celtics fans try to compare Robert Williams being gone to Chris Middleton being gone. Robert Williams playing was the best possible thing that happened to us because we could play Lopez then. If we couldn't play Lopez because they spread the floor, we didn't have enough players. We literally ran out of players. That's why we needed Middleton. And I think the Bucks' recipe to win a title in the playoffs is Giannis at center. And that was what, like, well, Oleg Kuzma, he's not great.
Put him at the
four.
Yeah.
And then Giannis at center, that's really our only chance against the new NBA offense.
Playing with speed and versatility.
I forgot we had Doc Rivers as a coach. We never even tried this, never even went there. But then what's the organizational, like, if you're getting a Miles Turner, what the point was of getting Kyle Kuzma? Because you're now abandoning Giannis at the five. So we have this millstone now, thanks to Andrew.
Well, that's why you were very persuasive around the trade deadline, because I had been watching Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma actually single-handedly poisoned Wizards basketball for me for like a year and a half there. And yet I started to buy into the idea of Kuzma at the four. And maybe he was just so miserable on a series of forgettable Wizards teams that there was another version of him to unlock, you know, take him back to that Lakers version. Exactly. And then I watched like two Bucks games with Kuzma out there. And I was like, man, this is ugly.
I think I watched two quarters.
So, it was really the dream was dead instantly with Kuzma in Milwaukee.
Well, but we never, like, we Giannis doesn't want to play the five. No one wants to play the five. I get that. And we would need a stopgap for the regular season. But, Miles Turner's five is getting there. You have to find a way to beat these teams that are playing five out. And that, just the Bucks have been drawing dead as long as Lopez has been there. I love Lopez, appreciate what he's done. He was an integral part of winning 2021. The reality is, since that Boston series in 2022, we've been unable to do anything in the playoffs as long as he's playing a central role.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why Turner is necessary. I mean, for all his flaws.
So are you a Turner guy?
Oh, he's always been a Turner guy.
I wouldn't say I'm a Turner guy. I just think he does some things that are useful.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so.
The floor spacing, he does make quick decisions. He played in that fast-paced Indiana offense. And so when you think about the Bucks this year, it's like, okay, Lopez, as you said, not quite the same as it was in his prime years. So you bring back Kevin Porter, Bobby Portis, Gary Trent, Ryan Rollins, Torian Prince. You add Miles
Turner. Sorry. Are you listing Torian Prince as a positive?
No, I'm not saying. I'm just listing the guys that are brought back. And you get rid of
Dave.
They
are all guys.
You lose Brook Lopez.
They have contracts.
Yes, they are under contract with the Bucks. And so now you're in a situation where there's no true point guard.
Yeah.
Giannis is the point guard.
Giannis is the point guard. And so I think Turner makes sense. Like you said, if there's any situation that Turner can be optimized, it's this one.
Right.
With point Giannis.
Giannis as a point guard, it makes more sense if other people on the floor could actually hit shots, and that's what I worry about with the Bucks. So here's my question, and it's really a question for you, Ben. As far as the Bucks investing in the next 2 years and trying to maximize the next 2 years, I understand that completely from Milwaukee's side. And if I were a Bucks fan who cared about the Bucks, I would step back and say, well, what are we really gaining by trading Giannis this summer and starting a rebuild? Yep. You can look at what the Jazz did with Gobert and
they
Mitchell.
Trade him, so you might as well.
Well,
keep
and
going
it's
as long
not
as you
like
can.
There's a pot of gold at the other end of the rebuilding
not
rainbow either. When you look at my Wizards, for instance, or the Jazz or the Nets, it's harder than ever to rebuild in this environment. But if you're Giannis or if you're a fan of Giannis, his prime doesn't have that much more time left at this point. And so I think what frustrates me envisioning the next 2 years in Milwaukee is the last 2 years I've seen in Milwaukee, where Giannis is top three and right there with Jokic and I guess Shea is rounding out the top
three. Annoying. It's top two. There's a clear line.
And you look at who
Shea
you,
there, are you?
Aaron Gordon.
That's not an anti-Shea statement. I think there's just a level of force.
Totally understand.
But I put him a very clear number three, I think.
And I go back to the run through the NBA Cup, which doesn't matter, but it was still
They have the trophy here.
Do they really?
You gotta take a picture later.
A victory lap.
It matters to me.
9 months later. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Look, the true legends of the sport win the NBA Cup.
Absolutely.
James, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Maybe Jokic will get one day. Maybe he can get lucky.
If he's
get
there,
hot.
We'll find out. So
I remember that run, and Gary Trent Jr. was hitting some shots during some of those games, and suddenly, if you surround Giannis, and Torian Prince even hit some shots. You surround Giannis with guys who could do that. It gets pretty fun, but the Bucks just haven't had those guys for the most part. Yeah. And so if you're a Giannis fan, do you just want him to play with better players? Like Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Christian Brown even, they're all better than any teammates that Giannis has.
I appreciate you noting that. Jokic has had much better players playing with him than Giannis has had for a long time. The reality is the Bucks have a massive hole on the roster that is in the exact shape of one Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
That's just his body broke down. He never really recovered from that slip in Chicago. He already had a bad knee on the other side that gave him two bad knees.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a shame. But what I will say is I'm definitely much more excited for this year. The last 2 years have been miserable. I've never known what it meant to play basketball passive aggressively until I saw Damian Lillard sharing the court with Giannis. And it was infuriating. When he was on there, he just wouldn't shoot. He'd just sort of stand around and pass up shots and pass the ball on. And he just could not adjust at all to not being the number one guy.
Does Giannis deserve any blame there? Any at all?
Yeah.
Screening?
Yeah. Yes.
No, Giannis is better than Dame. Like, this is the NBA.
But he didn't want to play. He didn't want to play pick and roll basketball with Dame, and that was both of their faults.
No, so we. So sorry, just to make sure I understand, what we're asking is that the 1A, 1B best player in the game go out and do the dirtiest work on offense, set hard screens, roll hard to the basket time and time again, so that Dame can be catered to and shoot his pull-up threes?
That is exactly what we're asking. We're asking him to be a big man, sacrifice, the team will be much better off.
You yourself
and he
said
didn't want
you
to do
wanted
it.
To play the five.
Giannis wants to play point guard, bring the ball up, initiate from the three-point line.
How about Dame move off the ball once?
Look, that I'm not a nice. Dame fan. I'm not a Dame fan. I was a longtime Dame skeptic and then talked myself into the fit in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And within the first month, it was like, man, something is not right here. And they never solved it.
I mean, the fact he's happy to be gone and to leave one of the best players in the world, one of the best players ever, kind of says something.
Yeah.
Look, I have to stand in as the honest apologist. Of course, like, he can deserve some sort of blame. But I think what we're asking of the two players, that's asking quite a bit more of Giannis than just literally just move off the ball and shoot the ball when
totally
you're open.
Totally fair. So, and to your point, your overall point, they're missing Chris Middleton. They're missing that type of guy right now. And they have the ability to trade their either 31 or 32 pick in the first round, way distant future, but still very high value.
No, it's very high value because
just
won't
like
be
we
there.
Saw with the Nuggets, they traded their 32 with Michael Porter Jr. and they got Cam Johnson an upgrade. So for the Bucks, they can trade the 31 or 32, and then the swap in the other year. And of course, they
Kuzma.
Have
Kuzma's the trade ballast for sure.
The problem is that Kuzma requires a pick to move.
Well, so maybe it's not him. So. But regardless of the salary, Ben, like, who are you targeting? Who are you like trying to add right now for the Bucks to make a run with Giannis?
Well, first off, I believe in a year they can then trade two first-round picks.
Yes, they would be able to trade 33 and 31, and then a swap in 32 next summer.
Right, and so that is worth keeping in mind. You might want to wait. One name that I think is very interesting and very suitable for this table is former Wizard Denny Avdija. Mm. I think fits the archetype, sort of like a poor man's Chris Middleton, one might say.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that is interesting. Obviously, your boy Trey Murphy III. Everyone talks about that. Joe Neubars.
Trey Murphy. Whatever he's traded, I mean, he's going to get like seven firsts for Trey Murphy because the entire league has
sure
been
Joe
lusting.
Joe Neubars is going to be able to get seven firsts.
No, I know. All bets are off after draft night.
I would rather have Denny Avdija than Trey Murphy, though.
Really?
The playmaking. The Bucks are they have no playmakers on the roster at all. And like that was the thing that was underrated about Middleton. It wasn't just that he was a scorer. He led the team in assists. He was a great playmaker. We do need the Giannis as a roller in the pick and roll. That entails having someone that can actually operate a pick and roll.
Yeah.
So as something to go to. So I think that would probably be my number one choice. But, you know, for next year, Giannis, Turner, GT, you know, Gary Trent Jr., AJ Green, Ryan Rollins defend the point.
I was wondering how many names you would list before you named Kuzma.
Not interested in watching him. Got to be totally honest.
I
mean, look,
I just hope the Bucks this year, I don't trust Doc Rivers, but I hope they play fast. I hope they play around Giannis. I hope we see him have like a triple-double.
I mean,
you
just crapped all over this segment. Doc Rivers is still there.
I mean, look, that's why maybe you play out this season. Play it out this year, and then you reevaluate the coaching position, and then next year you make your trade. Next year you'd roll the dice again with another coach. And then you make a run.
That's what I think it is, actually. Yeah. I think this year, like, let Giannis go for MVP, averaging like 35, 15, and 10 or something like that. And then package those two picks with the swap. And then Kuzma will be expiring at that point, so it's a little easier to swallow. And then get one more really good player.
And they should be a much better defensive team next year without having to hide Dame out there.
Oh, way better.
He was really, really, really bad. Three
really.
I mean, it's too bad it didn't work out with Dame. I thought at the least it would be fun offensively. It was not fun, period.
No, that's what's so depressing. It was actually less fun offensively than defensively, was not great.
Just hard to believe. Andrew, your Washington Wizards are now led by CJ McCollum and Chris Middleton. The vets.
Dude, look, Chris Middleton showed up in one, like, seven straight games.
He made an impact. He made an impact. We would have had the very best lottery odds in the league had we not traded for Chris Middleton, whose veteran presence helped stabilize things. I really do think he made a difference in the final 2 months of the season.
You're competent all of a sudden.
And we could have had Con Knipple on the roster because we would have been picking where Utah was picking. I'm not mad about it. I do think, well, actually, Khan went fourth. I do think that in the long run, Chris Middleton will make a valuable impact. CJ McCollum, you know, I guess his jersey should say not Jordan Poole next year. I did like Jordan Poole, though, too. He turned the corner last year.
Shot down out of a three last year.
Yeah. So,
but he is Jordan Poole.
He is Jordan Poole, and we don't want to be paying him and allocating offensive possessions to him for the next couple of years if we're investing in some of these young guys and their ability to actually anchor a relevant team in the next 5 to 7 years.
For sure. And I mean, I think that's what's exciting for Trey Johnson. Obviously, you don't get Khan, you don't get Cooper, you don't get the top three guys, but Trey Johnson.
With some more guys he didn't get, yes. Just to make him
oh
feel
my
better.
God.
Well, but you do get Trey Johnson. And
yeah.
Now he's mentored by CJ McCollum and Chris Middleton in a situation that feels, you know, there's some stability there for him to grow within, but there's a lot of guards. Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington,
yep.
Among others. How do you feel about Trey Johnson as, you know, what's been, you know, 3 weeks now since the NBA draft? Are you bullish on him? How do you feel? We've not seen him play yet, by the way.
Yes, I'm going to be watching him later tonight. It's tough. I mean, you mentioned all the guards. It feels like they're kind of throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks. I think Keyshawn George was actually pretty intriguing last year. And then they draft Will Riley. And looking at Will Riley, it's sort of like Keyshawn George part two.
He's like a guard. He's
right.
6'7", 6'8", but he is a guard.
These long, yeah. Super lanky guys. Trey Johnson, I'm excited that that's the direction they went because I thought picking at six, you're more likely to get a valuable starter as opposed to like a star. And swinging for the fences for someone like Ace Bailey would have driven me completely insane.
So happy were you when the Jazz took Ace Bailey?
I was elated. I was so relieved because the Wizards had been angling for the Ace Bailey swing for the fences. And I think Ace, the only team he worked out with was the Wizards at some sort of secret workout in Atlanta. And so I just didn't want to go that direction because I don't think Ace Bailey's going to be horrible, but I don't think that he's going to be someone that rewards an 8-year investment from whatever team is betting on his upside and his ability to like anchor a playoff team over the next decade. So they didn't go that direction. And I was feeling good about where the Wizards are. They've got a bunch of helpful pieces. Then I watched Cooper Flagg last night and the difference between someone like Flagg and the pieces that the Wizards have on the roster is just massive. So
it was a shame because I feel the Wizards were actually the best fit for Flagg in the NBA.
They have a bunch of guys.
The pieces, they just need the guy in the middle.
Young guards, young shooters.
Right.
They have everything.
Guys who project as like the fourth best guy on a team.
Front court partner with Alex Saar. Like it all made sense around Cooper.
Alex Saar, if he is a bonus, could actually be kind of fun. Alex Saar, if you're building around him as a cornerstone, is going to drive you completely insane.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're waiting on the cornerstone, I guess would be my take on the Wizards at this point. But Trey Johnson looks like he's going to shoot the crap out of the ball. He's pretty light, and I worry about his ability to hold up on defense. But
he gets to the rim, too.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to foresee him being part of a top six or seven for a playoff team in 5 or 6 years.
Now, Ben, Andrew's Wizards missed the playoffs last year. The Hornets, Sixers, Nets, and Raptors. Of those teams, are the Wizards the team you're most bullish on in the future?
I'm going to zag and say the Hornets.
Oh, boy.
And just because I think they're still the laughingstock and pointed to as the worst-run organization. People forget they did get sold. And so they have a former Bucks assistant as their head coach. I think he seemed to do a great job last year. Very, very highly regarded. The name's escaping
Charles
me.
Lee.
Charles Lee, thank you. I knew it was Charles something. And I think they're aware that they have a LaMelo Ball problem. And there's just a bit of sort of treading water and getting pieces until then. And I think they did what Andrew just said. He was head about the Wizards. Taking a Con Knipple, is he going to be a superstar in the league? No. Is he going to be a very solid starter in the long run? Yeah. Like, Knipple and
your Alabama guy. Sion James, and then Ryan Kalkbrenner was their draft class.
Yeah.
What were you mentioning?
Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller. Man, I'm struggling right here. But Brandon Miller and Konka Knipple as your two wings, if you can get the right sort of straw. Total accident. But the right sort of straw to sort of the drink.
Can I double down on that? As a Wizards fan, watching the Wizards try to play four-dimensional chess and trade for every bad contract in the league and then clear $100 million in cap space next summer, God only knows what they're going to do with that. Probably take on more horrible contracts. I'm bracing for it. I'll be honest with you. I don't really know what the plan is. And I watch all that and stockpiling all these lanky dudes who have no idea how to play basketball. I look at the Hornets. They're just making solid move after solid move, hitting singles and doubles. And I'm a little bit jealous of that. And then at the same time, I have to remind myself, I don't have to watch LaMelo Ball all year next year. Right. So I'll count my blessings on
all
that
all year,
front.
More like for 25 games.
That's true. Right. That's
know,
true.
Know that he's there. I mean, would you rather have LaMelo Ball or would you rather have Damian Miller on your book or Damian Lillard on your book for 20 million
five years?
I mean, LaMelo's still young. Maybe he'd grow into something. Dame is on the tail end of his career. So I would choose LaMelo personally.
Well, and the caveat with the Hornets' optimism is like the shot diet for LaMelo and Brandon Miller. Their shooting profiles alone is evidence that like the NBA needs to do something about the three-point addiction in the league, because Brandon Miller will go out there and take like 5 twos and 17 threes. LaMelo's even worse because the threes he's taking are horrible shots and
partially
they're contested.
Charles Lee driven though. After Milwaukee goes to Boston under Mazzulla. It's like very Mazzulla Ball.
And I don't want to watch that stuff, man. So I guess we'll hang my hat on that. I'm not going to watch Trey Johnson take 17 threes next year.
The other thing, one of those teams that is interesting is Philly.
Yeah.
And because they obviously have this dual albatross of Embiid and George, but they have a shockingly like large number of like young guys that are interesting.
DJ Edgecombe.
Edgecombe looked so awesome.
I know. He
in Salt
awesome.
Lake City.
McCain looked amazing last year.
And
you
still
Maxey's young.
Trajectory.
So it's like light years
Quentin
east
Grimes,
over there.
Assuming they get him back as well. Restricted free agent.
Yeah.
Which I think,
no, I think they will. Yeah. And it's like light years
he's
east, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Like their young guys are really compelling and they're like, they have these like weights that are their old guys.
Yes.
But
they can trade those guys to DC next year.
They
can.
A lot of cap space.
New era begins. Joel Embiid. Yeah. Best contract in the league. Let's do it.
Since you guys are sharp tech, I have to ask. Mark Zuckerberg has been handing out Devin Booker-esque contracts to steal people from other companies. How soon until we see OpenAI, Apple, ask for an NBA-esque salary cap on these deals, man? A second apron? Are we going to see it in the tech world? This is crazy.
No, the tech industry is hilariously, to an extreme degree, allergic to any sort of collective bargaining or union sort of action.
The Department of Justice may intervene.
Which would be a necessary factor for that. It is quite interesting. I think the thing with AI is everyone's trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's a limited number of people who are good at it. So you actually have salary competition that you've never had before that looks a lot more like the NBA. Everyone's doing the same thing. Like all 30 teams are trying to put the ball in the bucket and stop the other team. And it's very measurable. So that's why the players sort of can accrue a lot of power. And to see those dynamics sort of emerge elsewhere is definitely interesting. But
Andrew, no chance of that? No salary cap?
I think there's a better chance that Mark Zuckerberg buys the Wizards and we start spraying that cash around in D.C. Hey. Let's build out the front office, and I would love to see it.
That'd be amazing.
Anybody in big tech, we're waiting for you. We spend $10 billion.
Well, I thought your owner was big tech.
Well, AOL had a great run in the 90s.
Weren't there rumors of Bezos and something? No, that was with Washington.
Steve Jobs' widow is a minority shareholder in Monumental Sports, which owns the Wizards. Okay. And I would love her to spend on becoming majority owner. Who knows?
It's just tough in the NBA nowadays. You can have the deepest pockets, but with the second apron, you're probably not going to spend for too long because of the actual basketball penalties.
The valuations have gone to such an insane place that there really are only like a handful of people that can afford to own a team. And so the teams that don't have those owners and that are, you know, riding the waves of AOL money like 25 years ago are playing catch up. But we'll see.
Andrew Sharp, Ben Thompson, thank you guys for joining me.
It's great to see you, man.
Big thank you to Andrew and Ben for joining me. We'll have more coming out in the weeks to come. We get a lot more conversations that I recorded at NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. Those will be coming out next week and maybe a little bit the week after. And of course, still news that could happen. And at some point next week, we'll talk more Summer League with some of the standouts, the disappointments, and everything else going on right now in Las Vegas. Have a good weekend, everybody.